Welcome to Podcasts, recorded live at the Center for Spiritual Living in Portland, Oregon. We have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the Online tab. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its video podcast, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.
So as Nancy mentioned, we're wrapping up a short series, a two-part series on the rising of the Christ consciousness, and choosing this time of year to do it because, of course, it being December and we're nearing Christmas, that time when we celebrate the birth of Jesus of Nazareth, and to remember also that Jesus was one of our great teachers, gifted to humanity, what you might call one of our avatars, those people who not only know that they're one with the divine, but they experience it and they live from it to the point where it is everything they do. Jesus not being the only avatar, there are many, many of them, but Jesus was one. We might also think of Krishna and Muhammad and the Buddha as other avatars, or these people who remind us that the Christ consciousness is in us all the time, and we can choose to live from it. And because we also, this time of year, remember when we think about Jesus that he was the example, not the great exception, because Jesus himself taught us that we are the light of the world, that each and every one of us is one with the one spirit, and that heaven is within. It's not some far-off place that we can't quite locate, but if we're good enough, we'll get there someday. We can get there already because it is within us, and this is what Jesus taught us, as well as many others. As part of this series, last week we looked at preparing the way, how we prepare ourselves and our consciousness and our emotional life and our spiritual life to be or to reveal that Christ consciousness, because after all, we already are the Christ consciousness because we're one with spirit. We were born with that inside of us. So it's not something we have to attain, but it is something we need to reveal or let rise up and express more of. And last week, we reminded ourselves from our founder, Ernest Holmes, that we must understand that the Christ is not a person, but a principle. As the human gives way to the divine in all people, they become the Christ. So last week, we talked about preparing the way. This week, we're going to talk about actually being the light in the world, being the Christ consciousness in the world. And this idea that humans are the light of the world, of course, it's not exclusive to Christianity. It's a principle that's alive and well and taught in many faith traditions. The Quakers, this idea that the light lives in us is a huge part of their spirituality. They spend a great deal of time, probably every day, contemplating that they are the light and how to be it. A couple years ago, I was fortunate enough to take a spiritual adventure to Peru, and I learned that in the Inca cosmology, They're teaching that this time right now, when all of us have chosen to be alive, is the end of 500 years of darkness and the dawn of 500 years of light. So we're right here at the cusp of it. And Sufism, the mystical aspect of Islam, they have a lot to say about how the light of Allah, or the one of God, lives in and through us. In Hinduism, they teach about the Atman, which is the God within. And when you combine that with the idea of Dharma, the yoga of right action, it's about being the light. And of course, in Buddhism, the path of finding or revealing more of the Buddha nature that's in all of us. And I don't know if you guys have noticed it or heard it, but I'm hearing more and more spiritual teachers around the world say that there is more light, there is more high consciousness in the world right now than at any other time. Again, when I was in Peru, one of the things we did, it was a spiritual adventure, like I said, and one of the shamans we worked with was Jorge Luis Delgado. And he has committed himself to teaching ancient Inca practices, and he taught us, we were so fortunate, to almost daily learn some spiritual practice that's about integrating the light within us so we can turn around and express it into the world. And he teaches these practices to anybody, from anybody or anywhere in the world that's willing to learn, because he is committed to there being more and more people shining that light into the world. And we also hear from the mystics among us today and around the world that the reasons there's so much more light in the world today, and more light every day, is because the collective human consciousness is on a continual upward spiral, so that's the only direction we can go. And as religiosity decreases, spirituality is increasing. People are turning away from the religions of old and the dogmatic, I would say even oppressive rules, but they're not turning away from spirituality. There are more people practicing spiritual principles, more people interested in raising their own consciousness and knowing and living, how can I be a more beneficial presence? There are more people doing this every day around the world. And of course, there's more high consciousness in the world as we get a deeper and deeper understanding of our interconnectedness, and that, oh, what I do affects everybody and what they do affects me. So I better try to act from my high consciousness. So there is more light in the world. And what are the qualities of this Christ consciousness that we're talking about? Well, we can certainly look to those examples, those avatars such as Jesus, the Buddha, Muhammad, Krishna. We could also look to those great figures that we admire, such as Mother Teresa, Gandhi, Reverend Dr. King, Nelson Mandela, Howard Thurman, Frederick Douglass, Abraham Lincoln, Mother, the Mary of Jesus, Mr. Rogers. Yes, Mr. Rogers, who's spreading that light to our young people. Yogananda, Florence Nightingale, Desmond Tutu, the Dalai Lama, that's my list. I'm sure you could add to that list, and I'm sure if I gave it 5 more minutes or 5 more hours, the list would be much longer. But what do all these people have in common? Kindness, generosity, compassion, and faith. And really, when you look at it, it all goes to that most fundamental rule that we're taught when we're this little, right? The golden rule. do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Which, by the way, right after God is everywhere and in everybody is probably the second biggest thread in that golden, what do we call it? The golden thread of truth. Every faith tradition teaches this golden rule, do unto others, right? Because it's so fundamental to our nature and it's so fundamental to the human experience. And of course, because we're celebrating Jesus at this time of year, or at least many of us are, and whether you do or not, you can learn from the man, okay? So Jesus was asked by his disciples, what are the greatest commandments? And of course, the first commandment, according to Jesus, was love God. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your might, or all your deeds, all your action. And the second commandment is very much like the first. Love thy neighbor. And then, of course, the disciple asked him, well, that's good. Who's my neighbor? Now, this is when Jesus shares the parable of the Good Samaritan. Most of us have probably heard the story. A Jewish man is robbed, beaten, left by the side of the road, very injured, near death. A priest goes by, does nothing. A Levite goes by. The Levite is like an assistant to the priest. The Levite goes by, does nothing. And the Samaritan goes by, not only helps the man with his wound, but puts him on his donkey, takes him to an inn, pays for his lodging, and leaves extra money with the innkeeper to pay for this Jewish man's care as he recuperates. Now, all of that is a great lesson in generosity and hospitality and kindness and compassion. But the lesson takes on even more when we remember that at that time, no Jewish person would have thought there's any such thing as a good Samaritan. Because the Samaritans and the Jews were bitter enemies. So when we know that, we learn two other qualities of being the Christ consciousness from this Samaritan: forgiveness and courage. That Samaritan could not stop and help the Jewish man if he didn't have forgiveness in his heart towards his so-called enemy, if he hadn't released his hard feelings towards them. And he also could not have been the good Samaritan and helped the Jewish man if he didn't have courage to defy what he had been told his whole life, that the Jews are the enemy. So we've added to kindness and compassion, we've also added courage and forgiveness. And of course, all of this was in the answer to the question, Jesus, who is my neighbor? So in other words, everyone is our neighbor. Nobody should be left out of the circle of our light or our love from the Christ consciousness. And the Samaritan adding forgiveness and courage to our concept of Christ consciousness also illustrates why it's important to do the work that we talked about last week, preparing the way. Why it's important to do our inner work so we can redeem our own souls enough that we have no need to condemn anybody else out of our own inner burdens that we haven't yet healed. The good Samaritan had obviously done some good work. And because of that, he and each and every one of us can see others as Thomas Merton saw them. Then it was as if I suddenly saw the secret beauty of their hearts, the core of their reality, the person that each one is in the eyes of the divine. If only they could see themselves as they really are. If only we could see each other that way all the time, there would be no more war, no more hatred, no more cruelty, no more greed. So that's why we do the inner work, and that's the result of being the light. Now, how do we know if we're acting from the Christ consciousness? You can ask yourself a series of questions. Is it in alignment with the good of the one Spirit? Then it is the light of Christ consciousness. Does it lift up another human being or life or the world in some way? Then it is the light of the Christ consciousness. Is it accompanied by a sense of inner knowing and peace? Then it is the light of the Christ consciousness. And you can rest assured it is the right thing to do, even if it's not what others would have you do. And as we're doing this, we can remember that it all matters. Every little tiny bit of ray of light matters. We don't need to compare what we're doing to what anybody else is doing. We are not less than because we are not King or Gandhi or Nelson or Mother Teresa. As J.R.R. Tolkien wrote, I have found that it is the small everyday deed of ordinary folks that keep the darkness at bay, small acts of kindness and love. And that's because, of course, God does not love any one person more or less than anybody else. So whether our act of kindness helps one person or 10 people or 50 people or 1,000 people or an entire nation, it's worth doing. And it matters. Archbishop Desmond Tutu, do your little bit of good where you are. It's those little bits of good put together that overwhelm the world. And when we're doing this, shining our light, no matter how small or big it is, and let's just even get rid of those terms, let's just say whenever we're shining our light, we can know that we're not only blessing the receiver, but we ourselves are blessed. The one receiving or feeling the warmth of that light knows they were seen, they were heard, and they matter. Someone cares about them. And we are blessed because it raises our own consciousness. You know, if you look at those two commandments from Jesus, love God and love thy neighbor, when you put them together, what you get is, if you love God, you will love your neighbor. And when you're loving your neighbor, you're loving God. The two go together, which is why he said the second is much like the first. And when we do this, it feels so good that we have a bigger and bigger experience of that heaven within. Which may be why our founder Ernest Holmes wrote, when the time comes that nothing goes forth from you other than that which you would be glad to have returned, then you will have reached your heaven. Let me read that again, because it is one of my absolute favorite quotes from this man, Ernest Holmes. When the time comes that nothing goes forth from you other than that which you would be glad to have returned. In other words, when we are fully realizing and acting from our Christ consciousness, then you will have reached your heaven. You will have been fully, we will be fully in touch with that heaven within. Our Christ consciousness has risen, and that feels really good because we are acting from the most fundamental aspect of who and what we are. Jack Kerouac put it a little more simply. Practice kindness all day to everybody and you will realize you're already in heaven now. Right? This being the light of Christ consciousness, much like preparing the way, is a lifelong endeavor and a daily choice. And we do the two simultaneously. You can prepare the way and be the light at the same time. Because if you think you have to wait until you have arrived, you're never going to arrive, right? I mean, we all know that this spiritual path, this spiritual work that we do, we never fully arrive. So don't wait till you fully arrived. You are the light now. You're already being the light now. I bet every person in here, everybody in our virtual community space, every person listening to this message at some future date knows at least one time, probably hundreds of times, if you could remember every day of your life, when you were already the light. What we're trying to do here is build ourselves up to be it more consistently and to shine it more consistently. So we can start where we're at. We can start where we're at figuratively on the spiritual path, and we can start where we're at quite literally, where we're actually physically located. Whether you're at home, on the streets, at the office, whether you happen to be incarcerated somewhere, whether you're at the dinner table at a holiday meal with your family and friends, wherever you are, wherever we are, we can do this work, because unless you're hiding in a cave, you're probably going to interact with other people. And even if you're in the cave, you might interact with other life, and they deserve it as well. And we can also remember that whatever we're doing, we can do more. Not because we're not good enough now, not because what we're already doing doesn't matter, but we can always do more, because remember, our power is infinite, our source is infinite, our ability to love is infinite. So we can always do more. We always have more light to shine. It's never depleted. And yes, the world always needs more light. Amen. All of this takes commitment to keep going and to keep at this, even when other people might tell us, what's the point? It's hopeless. It takes strength to keep going in the face of setbacks. And it takes courage, as the Good Samaritan taught us, because sometimes what we need to do, what we're called to do, might not be the popular thing to do, might not be what society would rather would have us do. And when we have these virtues of commitment, strength, and courage, we can do our most important work, as summed up again by Thomas Merton. Our job is to love others without stopping to inquire whether or not they are worthy. That is not our business. And in fact, it is nobody's business. What we are asked to do is to love, and this love itself will render both ourselves and our neighbors worthy. My friend Linda told me a story that one time she saw an unhoused neighbor, and she felt moved to walk into the McDonald's that happened to be right there, and she bought a stack of gift certificates, and she gave them to the man. And immediately, another woman walked up to her and said, "What are you doing? Why did you do that? You know he's just going to sell those for cash so he can buy alcohol or drugs." And Linda told the woman, "Well, giving is between me and my God. What he does with it is between him and his God." I've remembered that ever since. And all of this, doing this, also takes faith. It takes the kind of faith that remembers that when we shine our light, what we're really doing is shining the light of the one spirit, because that's what's in us, right? That's our heart and our soul. And what that means is God or spirit can only do for us and the world what we allow it to do through us. That's the kind of faith we're talking about. Perhaps you've heard the story of the man who's sitting on the curb and he's just so fed up with all the darkness in the world, all the pain and suffering. He's hanging his head, just full of despair and hopelessness. And finally, he just yells out, "God, why don't you do something already?" To which he hears, "I did. I sent you." we are the light. The light is not going to show up in the world if we don't let it. So every little bit of light matters, because as we know, light is a real thing. Darkness is not even a real thing, because darkness is just the absence of light. So, but light is a real thing. Light can overcome darkness, but darkness cannot overcome light. So every bit of light matters, because every bit of light lifts up somebody somewhere. And so I end this with a challenge for all of us, and this is a challenge for myself as well, so you can hold me to task on this. The challenge is, every day between now and Christmas, and you could take it longer if you like, every day between now and Christmas, spend a little time each morning in spiritual practice and recommit to being the light that day. Commit yourself to being open to the opportunity to be the light for somebody, to show that kindness, that compassion, that hospitality, that forgiveness, whatever it is, and do at least one act every day that is in alignment with that, and then at the end of the day, write in your journal about it. What you did, for whom, and how it made you feel. And then the last part of this is, don't tell anybody what you've done. Because it's between you and your God. Okay? And just notice what it feels like. So that's our challenge for us. I close with a quote from the Dalai Lama that I think wraps up both preparing the way and being the light. Every day, think as you wake up. Today, I am fortunate to be alive. I have a precious human life. I am not going to waste it. I'm going to use all my energies to develop myself, to expand my heart out to others, to achieve enlightenment for the benefit of all beings. I'm going to have kind thoughts towards others. I am not going to get angry or think badly about others. I am going to benefit others as much as I can. That's our most important work. As Charles Fillmore reminded us last week, we are the second coming of the Christ consciousness. You are the light of the world. Know it. Claim it and be it. So now we get to pray together. I invite our practitioner prayer partners, both here in the sanctuary and in our virtual space, and any ministers who might be amongst us to rise and to take this prayer into their hearts and consciousness on behalf of all of us. I'm grateful that the one life and the one power and the one presence said, let there be. Let there be a world. Let there be light. Let there be beings made in my image and likeness, through which I can do my work. I am grateful that that same love and power and presence called each one of us forth to be here at this time, in this place, to usher in more light. And I'm grateful that each person within the sound of my voice is committed to being and shining more of that light. And I'm grateful that this is how the world works for everyone. And so with great gratitude, I simply let it go and let it be and know it is, and so it is.
So it is.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If you happen to be in the Portland, Oregon area, we'd love to have you visit in person. The Portland Center for Spiritual Living is located at 6211 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Our inspirational service is at 11 a.m. every Sunday. We also have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the online tab. We have a variety of content dedicated specifically for our podcast listeners. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its podcasts, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Our website is also the place to learn more about what's going on at the center or to contact us. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.